Appreciate the prayer and ask an interest in your prayers this morning. What's on our mind, been on our mind and heart is something, in one respect, it's very fundamental, but in another respect, it's very, very vital, very needful for us as disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is prayer. Prayer. And some might say, well, everybody knows how to pray. No, they don't. Not everybody has a desire to pray. Okay? But when we think about what some of the scriptures that speaks about prayer, then the more we understand and the more we consider it, the more we realize that it's absolutely vital to our discipleship of the Lord and our witness before others. So, if you pray for us for a little while, pray the Lord will bless us together in this subject. So I want to begin by asking you a question. How old do you have to be to pray? I didn't hear a single answer. How old do you have to be to pray? Is that? You know, we have examples in Scripture with the Lord dealing with John the Baptist in his mother's womb. We have spoken about Jeremiah when he was in the womb. We have David talking about the Lord calls him to hope while he was upon his mother's breast. Okay? But maybe a better question, instead of how old do you need to be to pray, maybe a better question would be how new do you need to be to pray? Huh? You see, the natural man, a person without the Spirit of God, has no interest in God. They have no desire to pray to God. Their desire is for themselves. All that they think about is whatever is best for them. But the Scripture says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And in Galatians 4 and verse 6, the apostle says to the brethren, the churches of Galatia, he says, and because ye are sons, because you're sons, you see, that's directed to the children of God. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Okay? With the Spirit of God in us, then and only then can we cry unto God as our Father. And that makes all the difference in the world, doesn't it? Because it's a child of God praying unto his Father, which is in heaven. All right? Without the Spirit of God within him, there's no desire to do that. And so it could happen at any age, couldn't it? Okay? And it's not a prayer is not a something that where we have to know all the magic words. There are no magic words. It's the Spirit of God that lifts that prayer up to the Father anyway. All right? And so and I quoted to you from Galatians 4 and 6, but let's also notice in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 14 begins, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So if you see one who's interested in the things of God, you see someone who's interested in pleasing God, you see someone who wants to walk in a way that would be pleasing unto the Lord and honor Him, then you're looking at a child of God who's trying to do his best to do what's pleasing unto his Father, which is in heaven. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, just by virtue of the fact that it says, for as many as, that tells us that not all men have faith. Not all men are going to serve God. Not all men are looking to seek after God. And if they're not interested in God, they're not looking for God, then they're not going to be praying. They may mouth some words, but it's not prayer. Because prayer is the sincere desire of the heart, prompted by the Spirit, lifting our words unto God. So I'll ask you a question. Now that we've introduced this subject, by the way, let's keep going in Romans 8. All right, when he says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Then he talks a little bit more. He says, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. That spirit of adoption. You see, there's only one begotten of the Father. That's our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the one that was virgin born. That's the one that was free from sin. That's the one that went about doing good. That's the one that healed the sick and restored sight to the blind and hearing to the deaf and raised the dead again. He's the one who has all power both in heaven and in earth. There's only one begotten of the Father. Oh, but his family is a host that's innumerable to us. Out of every nation, kindred, and tongue. And many of them have never heard the name Jesus. Because of the grace of God, God has saved all of his people from their sins by the blood of his dear son. But he sends forth the spirit of adoption into our hearts, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. In other words, on that occasion, and we refer to that as regeneration, we refer to that as the new birth, we refer to that as being born again. But when that happens, God makes himself known to us. And he gives us spiritual life. He gives us his spirit. And because he's given us spiritual life, we have new eyes. Spiritual eyes, that is. You might be blind as far as this world is concerned. Do you remember Fanny Crosby? Remember some of those songs that she wrote? I don't know a lot of the history about Fanny Crosby. I should know more, I guess. But I understand she was blind. Was she also deaf? Blind, at least. But my point is, God showed her tremendous things, even though she didn't have the natural eyesight. The spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. In other words, God makes himself known to us. He shows that he comes to us and shows that we're part of his family. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. We're brought into the family. And as we think about then, he goes on to talk about that inheritance. He says, verse 16, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Now, as children of God, how should we act? Ephesians 5 and 1 says, be followers of God as dear children. As children of God, we want to know what pleases God so that we can please our Father which is in heaven. That's the way we need to live. That's the way we need to conduct our lives. That's the way so that we can show forth. Jesus said in Matthew 5, let your light so shine before men that others may see your good works and glorify your Father. Why is it that we glorify our Father instead of the person doing the good works. Because the only reason we can do the good works is because God has had mercy upon us and given us His Spirit and given us a love for Him and a desire to please Him. That's why bearing fruits and letting our light shine and doing good works is to glorify God, not ourselves. Because it shows whose child we are. And so we're to live our life in a way that's pleasing unto our Father, which is in heaven. All right? But I'm talking about prayer this morning. So I'm going to have to skip some verses here and get down to verse 26. Still in Romans 8, verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now my question to begin with was, how old do we need to be in order to pray? But the better question is, how new do we need to be in order to pray? If we're a new creature in Christ, we've got that Spirit within us that we can cry, Abba, Father. And we may not know the perfect words to use. No man has that. Oh, there are men who are very eloquent. There are women that are very eloquent in their praying. But bless your hearts, when we think about it's the Spirit that helpeth our infirmities. You know, sometimes we're so weighed down with the burdens that we're carrying that when we try to pray, we just cannot frame the words. You've been there, haven't you? You know what I'm talking about. There's times we just can't get the word. There's times when we have problems and we don't know how to fix it. We know who can, but we don't have the words to lift up to God to ask Him what to do. That's okay. God knows. He's got the answer. He's got the power. He's got the love. He's got the mercy. He's got the compassion. But we still need to pray, don't we? Even if all we can do is groan. Lift up our prayers to God. Because His Spirit, you know, in Hebrews chapter 4, he talks about how that he's touched with the feelings of our infirmities. See, here it says the Spirit helpeth our infirmities. And in Hebrews, it speaks about how that He's touched with the feelings. And as we've said many times, it's not the words that describe our feelings that touch God. He's touched with the feelings. He's not bound by words. When we try to communicate with one another, we try to use the best words we can to describe what we're trying to say. But listen, it's the Spirit that helpeth our infirmities. It's the Spirit that lifts up our prayer to God. If we have the desire to pray, it doesn't matter what age. It doesn't matter what level of education. It, bless your hearts, it's the desire of the heart that's important. So how's your prayer life? As a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, if this seems like a very simple subject, and in one respect it is, but putting it into practice sometimes can be difficult, can't it? Sometimes we try to pray, we don't feel like our prayers get above our head. Sometimes we don't know what to pray for. That should not keep us from praying.
That's right.
If we have the burden of heart, we need to pour out our heart to God. God knows what we need. He knows what the answers are. We may not, you know, we may have an idea, and you know, the problem is a lot of times we think we have an idea, and we prayed for God to ask to bless our plans. Instead of just praying to God and ask Him to open up the doors that would be pleasing for Him. Because He knows the whole picture. We have blinders on. All we see is our little world. But He knows everything. He declares the end from the beginning. And from ancient times, the things that are not yet done say, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my will. And so we need to apply ourselves into seeking the will of God. And ask for the Spirit to guide us and open unto us the things that are needful. All right? So, this new creature when a person is born of the Spirit of God, this new creature desires to commune with God. I mean, after all, it's the Spirit of God in us. It's the Spirit, all right? You've got the Father, you've got the Son, and you've got the Holy Spirit. And they're one. They desire that communion with one another. Part of the suffering of our Lord and Savior when he was on the cross, part of the greatest, you know, to our understanding, one of the greatest things about his suffering was that the Father withdrew his presence from him. That had to be tremendously painful for the Father to withdraw his presence from his Son. See, when Jesus came to the earth and when he was going through his earthly ministry, he spent much time in prayer. You know that, don't you? Well, he's perfect. Why did he need to pray? He knows all things. Why did he need to pray? Really, think about it. Maybe you have thought about it. Why did Jesus need to pray? I don't really think he needed any answers. Spending time in communion with the Father. That's one of the greatest things about prayer. If we're going to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to know how to follow him. We need to know what pleases him. We need to know what displeases him. And we need to spend some, you know, you got a good friend in this world? If you've got a good friend in this world, you're blessed. Let me just say that first of all. You are blessed. If you've got a good friend in this world. Well, if you've got a good friend in this world, don't you think you need to spend some time with them? Don't you think you need to talk to them some? Isn't that the person you want to talk to and spend some time with? I'll say yes, if nobody else will. We need to spend time with those that we're so close to. Well, bless your heart, God loves us more than anybody. He's done more for us than anybody. We need to spend some time with the Lord. Now, I don't mean that you have to stay on your knees for 7 hours. I'm not talking about that. You know, Sister Nancy and I have talked about praying, and you know, I think it's a man thing that you feel like you got to get on your knees and spend some time. I do. That's what feeds my soul, is to spend some time on my knees and praying to God. But then, you know, like that video that talks about men's brains and women's brains, if you haven't watched that, it's entertaining, but it sure says a lot of truth. And us guys like to compartmentalize things. You know, one box open at a time is what this guy says. And I just feel like that I just need to be alone. I need to separate myself from what's going on around about me. And I need some time alone with God. And I think everybody can benefit from that. But women are more multitasking oriented. And it's very possible that you can go about your day and doing other things and be in communion with God and being prayer for others and thinking about the Lord and singing praises and doing good things all through the day. And if that's what feeds your soul, and if you stay close to the Lord doing that, then keep it up. Because that's the goal, is staying close to the Lord. Find what works for you. You know, we're different in some respects, aren't we? God's not different. And one thing that we all share is, as children of God, we need to spend time with the Lord. And it needs to be not taking plans to him and asking him to bless it, but finding God's will for us. And don't expect an audible voice in answer to your prayers. And don't look for something superstitious to happen so that, you know, I know Gideon had the fleece and he prayed one way and then he prayed for another way. And you know, there's room for that. God's people have done that. But you know, most often, God deals with us by impressing the heart. Laying something on your heart. And so when he does that, you need to be listening. And you, not only do you need to be listening, you need to be willing to follow that impression of the heart. If we're going to be followers, if we're going to be disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, then we need to be listening and following. You know, we all, myself included, know more, we know more than we put into practice. It's needful that we understand that, first of all, the goal in praying is to spend time with the Lord, strengthening that inner man, the spiritual man. So he says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Has that ever been your case? Don't know exactly what we need to be praying for? You know, I used to work for a retired Marine. And he couldn't stand it when there was a problem and you just had to wait. He would invariably say, well, do something, whether it's wrong, you know, even if it's wrong, do something. I put up a sign in the back of my cubicle that said, why is there never enough time to do something right, but always enough time to do something over? He didn't like that. But I didn't like his method either. Sometimes we have to wait on the Lord. There are times we don't know how to pray, but the Spirit helpeth our infirmities. Whatever the weakness is, whatever the problem is, whatever the challenge is, the Spirit can help us. And I'll tell you another reason you need the Spirit leading you is when you're studying your Bible. See, this prayer, you need to give a little time at least to prayer and ask the Lord to lead you by His Spirit when you're reading His Word. Because the Spirit helpeth our infirmities. But here, specifically, talking about prayer, he says, for we know not how we should pray as we ought. Does anybody here think you know exactly how to pray? Well, we know a lot about it. We've got a lot of experience with it. But what that's telling us is that there are times when we need the Lord to lead us because we don't have the answers. But He does. He knows what's best. We may be faced with three different options. And we don't know. God does. God does. Do we avail ourselves to such prayer? I'm talking about fervent prayer now. There's times, you know, I'm sure we all pray each day. And I hope that there are times when we have our fervent prayers. Because when we feel the needs. You know, there's that praying that you do with a prayerful attitude as you go about your day. That's one way. But there's times when the burdens, when there's challenges, when you know there's somebody and something going on in somebody's family, when you know that there's something, some problem that they're experiencing and you wish you could help and you don't know what to do. I tell you, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And when I say righteous man, that includes you sisters too. You know, the Spirit helpeth our infirmities. All right. So when we think about then, he says, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Okay, so we may not have the words. We may not know how to express. We may not even know what needs to be said. But that doesn't keep us from praying. Even if all you could do is groan. Somebody within earshot may not have any idea of the burden of your heart, but God does. Isn't that comforting? Isn't that a blessing to know that God knows and He's able to help? So when we think about then, in prayer, we're taking time. We're taking some time to spend with God. In in life, many times, I don't know if this is your case or not, but I know it happens. Many times we get up, we rush out, we rush into our day, and just feel like something's missing. We rush into our day, and I guess we're supposing that the Lord's along with us. You know, we know that promise says he'll never leave us nor forsake us. But we rush into our day. We suppose the Lord's with us. Just like in the early days of our Lord when he was 12 years old. You know, Mary and Joseph were supposing that he was along with him, and they left him behind. Now, we know that God is omnipresent, which means he's everywhere present. Okay? But in our mind, we can leave the Lord behind. We can be so wrapped up with the things of this world and so wrapped up with what we're wanting to accomplish that we're not considering the Lord in our situation. That's not a good place to be, is it? Matter of fact, that's a bad place to be. Because listen, the Lord loves us more than anybody on this earth. The Lord has done so much more for us than anything we could ever accomplish on this earth. As a matter of fact, there's coming a time where we're going to breathe out our last. May God help us to make good use of our time each day. If we would remember him in the beginning of our day, if we would remember him as we go through our day. See, I'm not talking about spending all day on your knees praying. I'm talking about carrying the Lord with you. Thinking about him, thanking him for his blessings, asking him for the leadership of his Holy Spirit. Because, bless your hearts, we need that time to grow. And what we're growing in is our love for the Lord. See, his love for us can't be any greater. His love for us is constant. His love for us is unconditional. His love for us is for Jesus' sake. Jesus died for our sins. Jesus put away our sins. And for Jesus' sake, bless your hearts, he watches over us and blesses us each day. But we need to grow. Listen, let's go to the book of Ephesians. No, the prayer I want is in Philippians. I'm sorry. Philippians 3. There's some prayers in Ephesians, but that's not what I'm after. Philippians 3. Well, I'm sorry. Guess I'm more tired than I realized. It is Ephesians. Ephesians 3. I'm sorry. Ephesians chapter 3. Paul says in verse 14. Now remember, we're talking about the need to spend time with the Lord. His love for us cannot be any greater. But our love for him needs to grow. And I'm not going to take time to try to examine all the phrases that Paul uses in this prayer here. But listen to it. Listen to Paul's heart. Listen to what he's praying for. And listen to what, even though he was praying this for the brethren at Ephesus, it's for us today, isn't it? We're to benefit from this. We're to learn from this. All right? And this prayer not only was for the brethren at Ephesus, but it flows down to us as well. All right? Because he was praying, the whole book of Ephesians is written to the saints. Okay? And if we're God's children, then we're the saints today. Okay, we may not feel like a saint sometimes, but we're the sanctified. We're the ones that Jesus died for, put away our sins. All right, so Ephesians chapter 3, beginning in verse 14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Remember, we're adopted into the family. God has made himself known unto us. Okay? Of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be what? Strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. It's not just adding to the intellect. It's not just learning what a Christian needs to be doing. It's to be strengthened in the inner man, that new creature in Christ. All right, the inner man. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. You know, there's so much about everything that Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus that deals with the subject of love. And in this prayer, he's praying that these brethren would do those things that would help them grow in their love for God. Shouldn't that be the goal of every one of us? That we grow in our love for him. Because you see, that's where it all starts. It's our love for God. If we don't have much love for God, we don't care about honoring him. If we don't have much love for God, if we don't have much respect for God, we don't have much respect for his word. But the more love we have for him and the more respect we have for his word, and bless your hearts, the more important it's going to be to us to live our life and make choices and make decisions that line up with what pleases God. Why? Because we love him. The more we love him, the more we'll want to please him. Do you love somebody in this world? Don't you want to please them? Well, if you're always doing things that's contrary to their will, would that cause them to love you more? No. All right, so we have the relationship because God has sent forth his spirit in our hearts, enabling us to cry, Abba, Father. We have that relationship, but we want the fellowship. The joy and the happiness that we'll experience in this life is walking close to God, seeking to know his will for us and following in that will. That's where you're going to find the most joy and happiness in this world. This world can be a cruel and unfriendly place. This world is full of troubles. There's lots of good things here, but there's challenges and there's lots of evil going on all around us. Bless your hearts, if we'll stay close to the Lord, we're safe. We're saying, now I'm not saying we're going to have any problems. I'm just saying we'll have more joy and fellowship with him. All right, so being rooted and grounded in love. And if they would do that, they may be able to comprehend with all saints, this is common to all of God's people. The need is common. If we apply ourselves to follow this, he's pleased with it. All right, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge. The love of Christ which passeth knowledge. That doesn't mean we can't understand it. It means you'll never understand the extent of it. That's why we'll be praising him in all of glory. That's why we've got an eternity to sing his praises, to express our love to him, because he loved us so much. He did what was necessary to put away our sins and to fit us for heaven so that we can be with him forever. So as we apply ourselves to these things, that may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. That's godliness, by the way. Don't you love to be around godly folks who love the Lord, who want to please God, who can rejoice in good things, who separate themselves from the evil things of this world? All the fullness, all those things that we have to enjoy in this life as we walk in fellowship and communion with God and with God's people, bless your hearts, there's a fullness for us to enjoy in the godliness that there is available when we're loving God like we should and loving one another. I mean, it's just a tremendous subject, isn't it? And so prayer is energized by our love for God. If there's no love for God, there's no prayer. And that doesn't necessarily mean that that person's not a child of God. But it could be a child of God like in Matthew 13 when he's got the parable of the sower. And there were some that he talks about the seed being the word of God and the different types of soils that were described in the parable in Matthew 13. And some, you know, some was hard. Some was fell by the wayside and the birds came along and snatched it away and it had no effect. And then there was some that fell on the stony places and it sprung up, but because it didn't have any depth, it withered away when the heat came. And there was some that fell among thorns. What happened? It was good seed. There was thorns there. There were thorns growing. But what happened is because of the thorns, they choked the seed. They kept it from getting the nourishment that it needed. And when Jesus interpreted this parable for us, he says those thorns are like the cares of riches and pleasures of this world. Those kinds of cares, if they are so full in our heart, they choke out the effect of the word of God. And so when that happens, that word is not having much impact on that person's life. They're so full of the world. They could be a child of God, but they're not experiencing the joys of it. They may get to the place where if the Lord grants them repentance, they may have to pray, Lord, restore to me the joys of thy salvation. Love. Sounds, well, it's at the heart of the matter, isn't it? It's at the heart of what's needed for us to pray like we should, for us to live like we should, for us to make the decision like we should. Prayer. All right, so he says, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Okay? So when we think about then, taking that time to grow in our love for the Lord, it's necessary. If you can do that throughout your day and keep in a prayerful attitude as you go about your business, that's fine. If you need to spend some time alone on your knees praying to God, if that's what it takes, that's what we need to do. Because prayer is vital to our fellowship and communion with God. It just is. It just is. When we devote ourselves to that, then we are getting our priorities right. We're surrendering to the leadership of the Holy Spirit. See, if we're not surrendering to the leadership of the Holy Spirit, then we're following our own desires. And you see a difference there, don't you? When we spend time in prayer and we're growing in our love for the Lord, then we're getting more focus or direction. Is it going to happen perfectly? No, it's a day-to-day effort. We've got this old flesh to contend with. We've got the world to contend with. The devil is rampant. Peter says he goeth to and fro seeking whom he may devour. Sometimes we forget about the devil being so active. We need to remember that, don't we? Remember that. We need to remember every day the Lord loves us. He died for us. He suffered the wrath of Almighty God in our place. Jesus said, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And he gave us that wonderful example. He told us, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. And then he went on to do it. Right? But there's another verse right after that that John records for us. Then he says, ye are my friends. Are you God's friend? Is he our friend? Are we seeking time and fellowship with him? Are we growing in our love for him? Ye are my friends if. Oh, here's a condition. Now that first one told us what he did for us. He laid down his life. He didn't offer himself to us. He offered himself to God. He did that for us. But then he says, ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. And Jesus said, if you know these things, in John 13, he said, and if you know these things, happy are you if you do them. So there's joy when we do the commandments of God and follow him in a way that's pleasing in his sight. Then there's glory to God. There's joy in our heart. And we grow in grace and our love for him. One more thing. We've got a few minutes left. One more thing. We've already talked about how that prayer helps us to spend some time in fellowship with God, to grow in our love for the Lord. See, that to me, that's the greatest reason why Jesus spent so much time in prayer. I do not believe he needed answers to problems. He was spending time with God. We need to spend time with God. We may have more to say about this subject, but for the time that we have left this morning, I want us to remember that it fortifies us. Spending time in prayer fortifies us against temptation. And I would add to that, not only fortifies us against temptation, but keeps us from getting caught off guard. You see, Peter told us that the devil's like a roaring lion. And he goes to and fro, seeking whom he may devour. He goeth about seeking whom he may devour. Do you think about that every day? Now, I don't mean that you should be fearful of it every day, but I'm saying you need to respect that truth, that the devil is out there and he's active, he's diligent to do what he can. We also have this conflict between the flesh and the spirit that we have to deal with all the time. You know, like Brother Michael Goode said in that song in our hymn book about the flesh is our closest foe. You know, it's always there with us. But the more we can keep our mind on the Lord, the more we can keep our mind on specifically on our need of him. See, that's what we don't need to forget. We don't need to forget that we need the help of the Lord every day. And every moment of the day, right? We need it. You ever got yourself in a situation and realized, wait a minute, how'd this happen? You know, it happens. But if we're mindful of the Lord, then we approach it in a different way. If we begin our day realizing, Lord, things may happen today that I don't know anything about, but you do, and I'm going to need your help. And so help me to be strong in the face of whatever that's going to be tempting me. See, at least that way our attitude is that we're aware that things could happen. We're aware that we need the Lord's help. And we know that he's able. And if we arm ourselves with that kind of a mind, our day will go a whole lot better. I'm not saying it will keep you from all the, that you won't experience any problems, but what I'm saying is you've got help to go along with it. All right? Now, when you study the scriptures, you'll find that this is tremendous. As far as realizing that we need help against temptation. See, let me put it this way. How many times have you found yourself in prayer asking God to forgive you for giving in to a temptation or getting into a situation? Instead of praying at the beginning of the day, Lord, keep us from those things. Joshua was faithful servant of the Lord. God told him to be strong and very courageous, and he was. And God blessed him with a tremendous victory at Jericho. Remember that? And then they went out against a little town called Ai. Town was about as little as their name. Ai. Just such a little place. Just send a few soldiers over there and take care of that situation. We don't all need to go. And they were smitten. They were defeated. And so Joshua falls on his face and questioning God, why'd you bring us out to this? You know, I don't want to be irreverent, but Joshua was questioning the Lord. What did this happen? You know what the Lord told him? Get up. There was a sin problem. Now, it wasn't, you know, Joshua was not the reason. It wasn't Joshua's sin, but somebody else's sin had caused problems for everybody. But my point is, God told Joshua, get up. And he told him what to do. See, so many times we let some things slip, we go our own way, and then all of a sudden we got a problem and we're on our knees and we're begging God to help us out of our problem. Wouldn't it have been a whole lot better to be praying to God every day and asking for the leadership and guidance of His Holy Spirit and make good choices so that we could avoid some of those kind of things? Yes. And the Lord's told us that in His Word. When Jesus gave us the model prayer, He said, lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. Are those futile words? Will God do that for us? If He won't do it for us, why would Jesus tell us to make that a part of your praying? Deliver us from evil. Lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. You see, it's a whole lot better to spend time with the Lord each day and pray to be strengthened in the inner man, to grow in our love for God and be strong and faithful to Him and make good choices. That it doesn't mean we're not going to have problems, but it means we'll be in a whole lot better frame of mind to handle the problems when they come, and we're a whole lot closer to the Lord as we go through them. And that's what we need every day. And God has given us prayer that we can talk to Him, that we can feel His presence, that we can have the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us and help us in our troubles here below. Isn't it a marvelous thing that God's given us the privilege of prayer? Yes, it is. It's a tremendous thing that He's given us. And so, Jesus taught us to pray. Lead us not into temptation. In other words, we need to be fortified against temptation. We need that on a daily basis. When we're that way, we're also fortified and not as easily caught off guard, because our mind is on the Lord. Our mind is on our need for Him to help us, and we're looking to Him and listening to Him for the leadership and guidance that we need for wisdom, for strength, for help, for deliverance, for whatever we need. I pray that the Lord bless these words to sink down in your ears, to find a lodging place in your heart. I pray that the Lord would impress upon those things to cause you to see great value. I'm satisfied that you already know the importance of prayer. But I felt the burden this morning to impress upon you how we need to be. We are indeed living in perilous times. Like the Apostle Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3, we are living in perilous times. There are so many that have just abandoned the church, abandoned God, and living their lives the way they want to. Bless your hearts, if we're going to honor the Lord, if we want Him to be in our midst, then we need to be growing in our love for Him and letting our light shine. There's not very much we can do about the ungodliness in this world. But bless your hearts, we can make choices for ourselves. We can make choices for our families. We can make choices as a church. We can grow in grace. If God's given us His Spirit, if He's given us that desire to call upon His great and holy name, and bless your hearts, He will help us, because He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Hebrews 11:6. He is. And He's given us the privilege of prayer. It's not a matter of age. It's not a matter of education. It's not a matter of physical strength or anything like that. It's a matter of the heart. To call upon Him. To grow in grace. To learn the love of God. To be strengthened with all might in the inner man. That we can walk close to Him. That we can let our light shine before others, so that others could see our good works. But here's the reason: and glorify our God in heaven. Isn't He worthy to be glorified? Isn't He worthy of anything we can do to His glory? Oh, may God help us to attend to a fervent prayer life each day. However you go about it, whether it's on your knees, whether it's as you go about your day, whatever it takes to stay close to the Lord, it's worth it. It's worth it. It'll be a great blessing to you, and it'll result in a blessing to your family. It'll result in a blessing to your friends. It'll be a blessing to the church. And our little corner of the world can be a little brighter when we're walking more closely to the Lord. You know what happened to Moses when he was up on the mount, don't you? When he was in the presence of the Lord, what happened? His face was shining. There may not be a measurable glow as far as shining light, but I'm going to tell you can see it when somebody's spirit is glowing. You could see it on their face. You can see it in their countenance when they've been walking close to the Lord, when they're following His ways. It could be seen. And the reason is because they're letting their light shine. May God help us to pray always and not to faint. May God help us to seek His face and His loving counsel in every decision we make. May God help us to follow Him closely, that our light would shine before others, that others may see our good works and glorify our Father with strength. May God bless you is our prayer.